Top 20 games of the Kings season. Game number 6? Question mark?
No question mark needed.
I think I know why. I think I understand. Took me a while to figure it out, but we finally got there.
Game number 6.
Yep.
Top 20 games of the season. Valentine's Day, February 14th.
Yep.
They were in Denver, Colorado, mm-hmm. taking on the defending champs. And the Kings come away with a victory, 102-98.
Yep.
That was a struggle for most of the game.
They were
struggling. They were down as much as 16 at one point.
Yep.
And they could never really find a way to get over the hump.
Yep. Kept getting there.
Yeah.
And not being able to get over.
Couldn't get over the hump. But
until
the franchise. The franchise came through at the end of this game where he went on, I believe I got this right. I didn't have my notes with me, but a personal 9-0 run to take the lead in that game.
I believe it was eight in the final
run.
2 minutes of the game. Yeah, I assume that's why that game is here.
Yeah, it was Fox.
It's fourth quarter Fox.
Yes.
It's 14 points for De'Aaron in that quarter, and then I believe it's a 8-0 run
right.
In the final like 2 minutes and some odd seconds
where he's just. He's
and their
shots. He's stealing.
It's the Reggie Jackson steal.
Yeah.
So that if you can't remember this one, don't feel bad because I didn't know what this was or why it was here. Everybody probably remembers him picking off Reggie Jackson.
Yep.
At essentially midcourt, the shots that he hit in that 8-0 stretch.
Mm. Come on.
Oh, so like. If you created a De'Aaron Fox elite scorer highlight reel,
mm-hmm.
you could run those four baskets one after the other and be like, oh yeah, this dude is special.
He's man, watching these games, man, I keep saying it, but I feel like people forget how much Casey.
You do this all the time.
Nah, I think they've been forgetting how much of him De'Aaron Fox is.
Man.
Like he's
well, go don't watch the whole 10-minute highlight like I did. Just I'm like, I started pulling the game up. I was so angry with you. I started pulling the game up on our app. Like, what is this? And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh,
De'Aaron going crazy. De'Aaron finished with 30 points, 8 assists on the night. Domantas Sabonis. So, I mean,
it was a weird night scoring for the Kings.
It was. I mean, because you only had 3 double figure scores.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead.
The other guy, it was Fox, it was Sabonis.
Yep.
And with 20 points, it was Harrison Barnes.
20 points on 9 shots.
Harrison Barnes with 20 points. Kings win. What a coinkydink.
Malik stunk.
Oh, man, Malik was tough.
Yeah, Malik was terrible. No one was good.
Yeah.
No one was good.
And
Keegan was bad this game.
It was a game where they were kind of, I wouldn't even say sleepwalking. They just couldn't get nothing going. And then they found a groove in that fourth quarter. De'Aaron Fox found a groove. Like I said, a personal 8-0 run in that game to put it away. And that's the franchise, man. That's the franchise. I do think people overlook De'Aaron Fox, even here in this city. I think they forget about De'Aaron Fox sometimes. Even
why do you think that? Because I don't feel like that's the case at all.
Because it's always Sabonis. It's always Malik. Now it's DeRozan and all this other stuff. It's the franchise is 5. The franchise is De'Aaron Fox. I understand Sabonis and what he brings to the table. And that's my dude. That's my guy. But the franchise is 5. That's the franchise.
And you think that's in question?
To a certain degree, we only going to go as far as he goes, as he takes us. All those other elements, the Sabonis and all this other stuff, if they're all playing at their maximum level and Fox I'm talking about as a whole, not in the game,
mm-hmm.
but Fox is like slipped a little bit this year,
mm-hmm.
like in a bad way, not like slipped because DeRozan's there and he doesn't need as much as the workload, but slipped as he's not playing as well,
mm-hmm.
it ain't happening. But if Sabonis slips a little bit, even if Monk slips a little bit, but Fox is who he is, I think we're still all right.
Hmm. I agree with the first part. I don't know that I agree with the second. And I feel like when people are talking about Malik and Damar and Domas, it's with the idea that De'Aaron is him. Like, I think they're, my opinion is, when people talk about this team, is they talk about De'Aaron like this is what they expect from him. And if Domas does this, if Damar does this, if Keegan does this, if Malik continues this, oh, the Kings are going to do that. But I think De'Aaron is left out of that because he's been consistent long enough to where you don't really put this into question. The question now with De'Aaron isn't can he do what he did last year? It's can he be better than he was last year or the year before, whatever. It's the constant question of can De'Aaron be even better? Can De'Aaron be even better? I don't think there's, I don't know, any conversation of De'Aaron not being the guy on this team is a little sketchy as far as I'm concerned.
De'Aaron is, he is the king, and I'm not breaking news, I'm just reiterating. He's one of those guys. The Kings got one of those guys. We've been searching for a while, like a franchise guy, a guy that could potentially lead you to the promised land. He's one of those guys. He is a Dame Lillard. He is a SGA. He is a Luka, a Jason Tatum, a Jalen Brown. He is one of those type of players, Jalen Brunson. We go all to our guy, Kamara. Ah, Brunson is so far past Fox at this point. He's just, Like Fox really is one of those guys. And while I agree with you when we talk about, like, how many more steps does he need to take, I do, he showed me, like, because there was, he had lulls this past season and was still a top 10 scorer in this league. He could score at an even higher level, make free throws. Something as simple as that. That might give you like a point and a half every game. He's just going back and watching these games. Like, Sabonis has these good games every time too, but keep going on these games. Oh, De'Aaron had 36 tonight. Oh, De'Aaron had 33. Oh, man, De'Aaron with 27 points, 11 assists. Like, it's like, man, this dude, he really one of the best players in the game.
There's no question about it. And this game was a great reminder, even if I did have to struggle to understand why this game was number six.
There was now
De'Aaron's final 2 minutes and that shot making alone could make it worth it.
Do you? I was going to ask, do you think so? Because I had a couple reservations as I started going through the list.
I don't.
It could have went down one or two.
Yeah. You know what it is? If I were... It wasn't just the scoring. It was the type of shots he was making. Like, they weren't just jump shots, lay-ins. They were... Fox, he took over. Like, in every sense of the word, it wasn't, oh, he was open. Oh, yeah. He did this. No. Took the ball, brought it up the floor, and decided he was going to score. Decided he was going to score at the basket. Decided he was going to score free throw line extended. Decided he was going to move the ball around a little bit, get it back, go to the basket and score again.
Yep.
Decided he was going to take the ball from Reggie Jackson and just lay it in.
That's it.
I
thought...
I'm okay with it.
The other day, I thought maybe the Warriors game could have been here.
Again, it was 14 points in the fourth quarter, 8 in the final 2 minutes, in a game where they could not get over the hump.
Yeah. Against the defending champions on the road. Two things from this game. If you see it all the way to the end, Michael Malone was so pissed off. He hates losing to the Kings. And that actually, I actually enjoy when we beat him more because of that. And I like Michael Malone, but he ain't, like, get over it. You're an NBA champion. Both teams have moved on. Why do you hate losing to the Kings the way you do? It's ridiculous. So he was pissed. And then, I don't know if you saw it, this was that crazy, like, 24-second sequence at the end of the game where the Nuggets got, like, three looks at a three and just kept missing, and people were falling all over the place. And it was a four-point game. It wasn't even like a... a three-point game, but I remember we were all just kind of bewildered after what we just saw in that possession the very next day. But Number six, 102-98, Kings over the Nuggets on Valentine's Day. And when we come back on Monday, top five is here.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think I missed that all. What the top five?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, there's games everybody can think of right now that we haven't discussed. And yeah.
Top five is the top five.
I think that's accurate.
I think they're
top five is the top five.
I don't think they can be disputed that those are the five best games this year, which is, it kind of goes to what you talked about when we started all this. Like, there weren't that many exciting games compared to like the Bean Team 1 year trademark compared to that game or that season. And hopefully this year, the Redeem Beam gets far. That's what they're being called.
I don't know who's calling them that.
All around Doco, they're like, oh man, Redeem Beam.
I don't think that. Oh,
7-Eleven, maybe.
The Redeem Beam brought to you by Blue Chew. Another promo code, D'Lo and KC. Probably won't work, but give it a shot.
The Redeem Beam, they're going to have a lot of exciting games this year. I promise you that.
I wonder if we can get Matt Trishan to sell some Redeem Beams.
Adam L. calls it Rabeam Team. It's the Redeem Beam.
Okay.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, no, every time you say it, it just sounds worse. Yeah,
I don't think it is. I don't know why you keep trying to sell this. Unlike previous games on this list, this Kings victory against the Denver Nuggets actually ignited a three-game winning streak.
Yay!
They won their next two rather than going back to the Golden 1 Center and losing, which has happened on more than one occasion on games that we've talked about.
And then, wasn't that the final game before the All-Star break?
Which one?
The Nuggets game.
14th, 22nd. Yeah, it looks like it.
So and they
came out, beat the Spurs, beat the Clippers.
Here we go, we're back.
Well,
and then we weren't.
That's accurate. And then we weren't. No need to talk about everything that happens after this. But they come back, win a couple, and then stuff happens, man. Stuff happens. So we'll have the top five games of the Kings season next week. So our man Chris Haynes just reported that Ben Simmons will be ready for training camp on October 1st. Good for him. No restrictions. Good for him. I'd really like to see what Ben Simmons looks like. I don't know.
I'd be curious. I want to see him get his career back. You know what I'm saying? Get to the point where he's out here and being a reliable player, a roster, a rotational player for a good team.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that. I'm not looking for superstardom or anything else like that. Like I'm looking for that. I got a kick though the other day when all this was when all this was happening. No Dunks, you know, the podcast, the NBA or podcast or whatever. They had the list that it says NBA's 12 off seasons, like so the steps of the off season.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh no,
it goes draft,
uh-huh,
rookie deal extensions,
uh-huh,
free agency,
uh-huh,
free agency moratorium, summer league, Zion is fit, FIBA hoops.
Oh, this is gonna get worse.
Extensions and minimums.
Uh-huh. Well,
Ben Simmons
Wow. Okay.
Ben Simmons is in the lab. They said this is where we are right now.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons, that's part of the NBA offseason.
Yeah, it is.
Camp invites. James Harden looks good. And the preseason.
Checks out. I mean, I don't know what to say.
That's how every NBA offseason goes.
I don't know
Zion is fit.
I don't know where gain 10 pounds of muscle fits in on this, but it's got to be somewhere up there.
That's got to be. I think that's That's after James Harden looks good in the preseason. Because that's training camp, right? Like, you go into training camp before preseason starts. Like, oh, somebody asked that yesterday about Kevin Herter on Twitter. They're like,
asked what?
Did Kevin Herter put on some muscle?
Speaking of, you see Pat Bev said that Kevin Herter is the Kings' X Factor this year?
I did not see that.
Yeah, he said it on his little pod.
Pat Bev liked the Kings.
I love how you did that. Little pod. No, I like that. That's good. That's proper you.
Pat Bev liked the Kings, man.
He's probably trying to get a job. The man, where is that man? Israel?
Yeah.
He don't want to be over there. He thinks if he talks nice enough, maybe they'll bring him in.
Cass Digital Media says Joel Embiid is healthy, should be on that list.
I don't think that's going to be on the list this year. Not that he's not healthy. I just think we all watch the Olympics. Like, I don't think that's making the cut. I do not think that's making the cut. We'll come back. Jesse.
Don't forget Draymond punches a teammate.
Well,
we got a little ways before that one. It's after the preseason, before the first game.
Well, he's got to have enough time to make the documentary. The punch part two. And who will he punch this year?
The Redeem Punch.
You're okay. We'll come back. Jesse asked a question in the rundown I thought was interesting that kind of gave me the idea of what could some potential Monday headlines be? We'll talk football. James Hamm is out today. Stealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. No, you guys are. There's no reason to turn Roman heel.
He
was the biggest heel in the company. Now he's the biggest babyface.
He doesn't even need to be like a babyface.
Why would you
turn
him heel again?
My thought, the way I see this playing out, is they beat the Bloodline at Bad Blood, and you know everything's good. After they win, and Roman beats the hell out of Cody and says, "You still have what I want. You still have my belt."
You could accomplish the same thing by them doing what they do, and Roman just looking at him and pointing to the belt on his shoulder. You could accomplish the same thing.
Get there anyway, though.
He would get where?
He'd get to the point where he's like trying to beat Cody, so you might as well do it in dramatic fashion. Like, we're both getting to the same end point. We're just having different ways of getting there.
Just have some days Roman's a babyface, some days of the heel. He could play both sides.
Just let him continue to do what he's doing. If he attacks Cody, he's a heel. Don't attack Cody.
If they just fight, is it two babyfaces?
Yes. That's what I said. Do you risk putting the Roman Cody match on and risk one of them getting booed?
Who you think is booed in that situation?
I think Cody gets booed. I don't think you want to do that unless
it's time.
Jesse's wet dream comes true and they turn Cody heel and they do the John Cena stuff.
Well, we talked about this. So that's a good point too. So we talked about this a while back about how you get Cody to turn heel and all you pieces of trash, all you did was, this is how you could do it. They boo him against Roman. And that really doesn't have an effect on him. Like he's not really tripping. But then the Cena stuff happens, and that gives him more fire to turn heel and say, I was going up against Roman, and you guys booed the hell out of me, and you guys weren't there for me, da-da-da-da-da. And that's how you become heel there. One of those two got to become a heel.
Where does Ricky Starks come into this?
Or he doesn't.
Who does?
So where does Ricky Starks come into all this?
He doesn't. Until Cody forms like a heel faction. I don't think you have to do Roman versus Cody. I think you can hold it off.
Can you have the bloodline even lose that Bad Blood?
Yeah.
You're kind of just going to bury him at that point, no?
Yeah, you could probably just have... No, because you could just beat Solo.
Yeah. Jacob's the one untouchable.
So Jacob... It's tough for me to see anyone pinning Roman. You can pin Cody. Cody's still the champion on Monday if he gets pinned. Mm. But it would make more sense for Jacob to pin Cody than for Solo to pin Cody because he already beat Solo.
Mm. There's not.
Or The Rock returns at Bad Blood. Mm. Then you start to lay the.
I don't think we've seen The Rock for a long time.
We're approaching WrestleMania season. You've got to start
to. It'll be Rumble. Yeah. Rumble at the soonest.
Okay.
Yeah. When is Bad Blood?
Next week. The fifth, October 5th, a couple weeks.
I might tap in.
They go to Netflix before or after the Royal Rumble?
The Khalid show.
Before, I would think.
I wouldn't be shocked if The Rock just shows. He does it's like January now.
Well, January 6th, I think.
Oh, wow. I think Chris Jericho was busy that day.
Oh, man. I was reading a story in the Sacramento Bee where the guy was at the January 6th activities.
Okay. The activities. Sir, yeah, it was an insurrection. Sir, it wasn't a clay making class. It was an insurrection. It was an attempt to overthrow the government.
At the January 6th gang activities. And he's a teacher like in Placer County now.
Oh, that's a stunner.
I said, what?
I'm sure there were many. I'm sure there were many Placer County residents who made the trip to D.C.
Man, that's crazy that he's an educator now.
He's probably an educator before. Remember that.
Woo.
In any event,
and that's why Roman Reigns should win at Bad Blood.
Roman pinning Solo works.
Yeah, poor Solo.
You just, yeah. Solo's, I mean, kinda... Jacob has quickly become the guy.
Yeah. When do the Usos come back?
And that's the next great question.
Jay kind of teased that the other day, you know, at Raw, I think. But he basically kind of like said he halfway, like indirectly said he wouldn't go back to the Bloodline right now or anything like that. Kind of like he's on his own right now or something like that. I thought I saw a tweet about that.
Well, that's good because I don't know if Roman's faction is going to be called the Bloodline.
Well, whatever.
Maybe
it is.
It's called the original Bloodline.
Just going back
know.
To help and stuff.
Okay.
Probably
whenever Jimmy's healthy and ready, they'll make that move.
This I just wanted to talk about this real quick before we
the key to all of this though, is real quick. Because mm-hmm. I don't know if you're leaving wrestling or not.
I am leaving wrestling. But
the key to all of this is the wise man. Paul Heyman is the key to all of this because if you wanted to turn Cody heel, you could do it with Paul Heyman.
And so, tell me if you think I'm wrong. I see him ultimately. He may not ever leave Roman because I think
that's
fine. They got a real they got the on TV connection. I think in real life they're like we riding, but I think the move for the wise man is Jacob Fatu.
I think that's too easy. I think you can go to Cody. You change everything about Cody if you pair him with an angry Paul Heyman. And you've already planted the seeds for it during the first Roman Cody build. You planted the seeds for it. Your dad had nothing.
I see you.
Your dad had nothing, and I brought him to ECW just so I could give him a paycheck. Cody sheds the tear. Thanks, Paul. He tells him, don't do this. Don't go against the tribal chief. It was the table set. It's right there. You can go back to that one moment when the video package airs and those two are in the ring with each other. You go back to that moment if they decide to turn Cody.
I see you cooking. But I do believe one of them got to turn.
I understand. One of them got it to makes turn. More sense when they do. Yeah. Babyface versus babyface has never worked for anyone.
Mm. What was the last one we can remember?
Rock Cena was a babyface. Well, but
that's not the last one. Brett and Shawn. But was Brett and Shawn a?
Yeah. Okay. And it was awful.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
The match was awesome.
They started. That's when the gears were turning for the Bret Hart heel turn. No, actually, it wasn't. It didn't start till after that. I take that back. It didn't start till after WrestleMania 12. Mm. So, no, it was just straight up babyface versus babyface, and it sucked.
Mm. It's not how wrestling sucks.
That whole match is overrated. Yeah, it's got to be good versus evil. Good guys versus bad guys, as one guy once said.
I want to get to week three of the NFL season, but I didn't want to leave without mentioning this. Did you see what that boy Arch did when he just popped in to the game the other day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Well, we're talking wrestling. The Arch Manning era has begun. Yeah.
Arch Manning came off the bench and start cooking.
Yeah.
And yours is like a borderline Heisman Trophy contender, could lead Texas to the national championship. And they got this dude, Arch Manning, where it's like, I think he's playing, because I don't think Ewers is ready to play this week. I think
he's starting.
And if he does,
he's never looking. Yeah, it's over.
So if he balls out this week,
it's over. It's over. It's over. Like, the Arch Manning era has begun. It is over.
That boy was cooking. He came in off the bench and was cooking. It's kind of like that's what Deshaun Watson did.
It looked like a Chappelle Show skit. He's just out there running over everybody. Like, they weren't even high-level athletes.
I said, not like that. That's how you just going to come in
crazy.
Like that?
Crazy.
Wow. So, yeah, I just. Yeah.
I got confused watching him. I was like, wait, he's Cooper's kid, right? I was like, is he Peyton's kid? And I'm looking at him like, I know that's Cooper's son. I know it. I know that's Cooper's son. I'm going to look to make sure. Cooper's son.
Yeah. So I meant to say that a couple of days ago, but Arch just came in going crazy.
He was crazy. Texas is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to the Dirty Six.
We look ahead to week 3 of the NFL season. We'll do it with a slight little spin. Instead of looking at Sunday, I want to look at Monday.
Okay.
Because Jesse posed a question that I thought was interesting, and it kind of led me down a road of, well, if we're going to do this with them, we could do it with a couple of different teams. Mm. And Jesse asked the question, can the Ravens recover from an 0-3 start? Oof. And I thought, well, that'd be a Monday headline. So I started thinking of what other Monday headlines could be out there. Mm-hmm. And we'll start with that one. Could the Ravens recover from an 0-3 start?
I feel like they can, and maybe that's just me believing a little too much in the Ravens.
Well, don't stop believing.
I feel like they can, but that's a tall task. And when we talk about recover, are we talking like make the playoffs?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think they could do that.
We're absolutely talking about making the playoffs. For them, I feel like we're talking about a little bit more, but like you put yourself in the conversation just by getting to the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like they could. You think they could?
Yes. I do feel like they could. I don't think they're going to go 0-3, but I absolutely feel like they've lost two games. They lost the games at the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they lost two games at the buzzer.
This is a tough game.
This is an interesting game for all parties involved.
Yeah.
How much do you guys buy the Steelers and what they're doing? Like, what if they start 3-0? Because, like, the Ravens, ideally, if you start 0-3, you should not be able to recover from that. But I'm not sure how much of a head start the Steelers would be able to get. The Bengals are already 0-2. Cleveland, we'll see.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said about Cleveland.
Like, yeah, I don't want to be the guy who hates Cleveland. Like,
oh, that's too late, pal.
So you are.
Yeah. Going on your tombstone.
I'm really trying right here, all right?
But I hear you.
Yeah, I just don't think the other teams will be able to build up enough of a lead that Baltimore won't be able to overcome.
Yeah, I you don't want to go to 0-3. It's a great sports radio right there. But I don't, given the division, because your first question, what Pittsburgh, you go out there and win games. Mm-hmm. That's Pittsburgh's job. Go out there and win games. How much do I believe it in the long term? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
They're winning. Can they win like this all year? Can they win to the tune of, 11 times, 10, 11 times? I'm not sure.
Justin Herbert's got a high ankle sprain, might not play this week.
Interesting. Interesting. I feel like, I honestly feel like the loser of this game can recover. Whether it's the Ravens, who would be 0-3, or the Cowboys, who could be 1-2. I think either of those two teams could recover.
I feel like we're still early enough in the season for anybody to be able to recover.
I think
week 3 might be the last week I feel that way.
Well, it's like if Dallas loses, it's like, all right, so we're all in on Philly? No,
right. But you know what concerns me? I would be more concerned about a 1-2 Dallas team than an 0-3 Baltimore team, because if you're Dallas and you lose again, I feel like partly because of your general manager, I think there's a lot of looking around. And like you saw, like Dak was very animated last game. And that was an ass whooping. I worry a little bit more about the Cowboys in that sense, that I don't think Baltimore splinters. They go 0-3. They're frustrated. They're angry 100%. I don't think they splinter. Dallas, I wonder about.
How many minds do you think it's crossed that, oh, yeah, this head coach isn't even going to be here next year?
How many are on the roster?
53.
Oh, good. Would they make it 59?
If you've hit that point, you're probably cooked already.
Everybody knows. Mike McCarthy knows.
But once again, like you guys
said, McCarthy might have had a job interview yesterday for all we know.
Like you guys said, though, they're probably in the worst division in football. So, like, you're not cooked.
Well, no, I don't think they're cooked.
Like,
I
wouldn't even be thinking that way.
I don't think they're cooked. Mm. I worry more about them splintering a little bit should they lose to the Ravens and go to 1-2. Mm. I thought the week one win was impressive.
I thought so too.
I was off about New. I don't know what to think about New Orleans. I'm curious to see them again. Are they scoring 40 again?
Maybe against that Eagles defense.
You know how we talked about Buffalo?
Make it 80 then. give me a Kobe. Give me 81.
You know how we talked about Will?
You want a Will?
Give me, can we have evidence of this one?
Is Dallas just going through a rebuild year right now and we just, like, no one's acknowledged it yet? Because you know how we talked to the Bills, you might have to restart a bit, and they're going to probably take a step back for a season or whatnot. Like, Dallas has nothing.
But are they?
Yeah, I don't think they're rebuilding. I think
not rebuilding, but kind of taking a step back where you're going to replace the coach next year, kind of add a wide receiver two, add a running back, because your running backs are horrible. Your wide receivers are no good besides CD. You really have nothing right now. You got a lame duck coach, too.
And I kind of feel like the cupboard is just bare. Mm. Like, that's what it is. Like, it's not even like I understand what you're saying, a little step back. Get some assets, you know. You like the Bills. We had to let Stephon Diggs go. Took a little step back so we can, you know, maybe get some cap relief or get some draft picks or whatever. That was a trade, right, Stephon Diggs? Like, oh, we got something back in return. The Cowboys, it feels like they're a year in front of that. Like next year will be the year where they try to rebuild assets. Right now, the cupboard's just bare.
Because honestly, if you look at this team, you can't. They're not a Super Bowl contender.
I don't think so.
Dallas?
Yeah, they're not good enough.
No.
If you just look at the roster, they're not good enough.
No, they're not good enough. Yeah, they're not.
So is it crazy?
I also don't think they're a team that gets their butt kicked by 30, though.
No.
I don't think they're that.
I don't think so either. Is it crazy to think Washington might mess around and...
It's not, only because I don't think that division is good. Right. New York ain't going to do it. And I ain't picking Philadelphia. Mm. Pick the Jets before I pick the Eagles.
Oh, damn.
That's crazy. Damn. Just for the sake of, you're not a big Jets guy.
Yeah, I can't stand either one of them.
I mean, but Jesse, look.
Sirianni and Rodgers at the top of my hate power rankings.
But Jesse asked, is like a little step back for the Cowboys and stuff like that. And Jerry spoke about that. Jerry said,
"Oh no,
the thought that this is some type of rebuild year, I don't agree with that at all. We made some choices to sign Dak and made choices to sign CD, and I spent a lot of money this summer. I did. I went to Morton's. And I just want to win a Super Bowl so bad that I don't believe in rebuilding. I believe in what we have here."
I got to say, being the producer that I try to be for the people and all that, it'd be pretty disrespectful to the Chatty House if we didn't get Kyle Shanahan's thoughts about all the injuries for Sunday's game. So, Kyle, just go ahead and walk in here. And what are your thoughts about Sunday? Go ahead and compose yourself, Kyle.
Well, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, there's injuries and stuff, and we just have to fight through it and stuff. And Brock, just got to make the plays that are there and stuff. And, you know, we just keep playing, and and stuff. And Sean McVay, I've known him a long time, and they're going to be ready to play and stuff.
Thank you. Thank you.
You feel like you did a good job today.
Brother, I just booked Kyle Shanahan the 2 days before a Niners game.
You know how I love that we throw like wrestling verbiage into every sentence somehow, whether it's brother or pal or something like that.
And I'm stuck doing it. I do it all the time.
I love it. I love it. It's my favorite thing that we do. I do it like in real life too. It's like, say pal. Did you just say pal?
Yes, we do that all the time.
I did. Brother. I absolutely said
especially
pal.
From the guy that we hate.
Well, yeah, both of them. One is the guy with the documentary. The other guy is.
You know how many times I want to tweet a hulking out gif when my teams are starting to play good and all that?
Yep, can't do it, brother.
What did I see? He survived, and it was ridiculous. Oh, that's what it was. It was some rest, and he survived Macho Man's elbow and got up and hulked up.
No, what happened was the Macho Man was his teammate. He was his tag team partner. So this is
what when it was like. I think it was King Macho. Is that what it was?
Oh, it was in WWE?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
I think it was King Macho. Because okay. I think it was Macho Man and Sid, maybe. I can't remember. The flying elbow connects. And
No, what? Buddy. No, buddy. You need to find the clip where they're a tag team in WCW and Hogan's down. And Macho Man's trying to give him, he's doing the Macho Man thing, He's like trying to get him up. He doesn't. So he runs to the outside, jumps to the, does the big thing, drops the elbow, and Hogan pops up. It's amazing.
Let's see if I can find it here. I want to hear more about these Monday, though, the Monday.
We agree the Ravens recover.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about the Bengals? And I'm going to frame the question differently. Monday headline. Potential Monday headline. Fictitious Monday headline.
Okay.
At 0-3, has the Bengals window already closed?
Ooh. Ooh.
Like at 0-3, could you look at the Bengals moving forward going, yeah, they're a threat to the Chiefs. They're a threat to the AFC. Yeah. Are they even better than Houston?
I don't think the window's closed for this season. They're not doing anything, but if Joe Burrow's healthy, then I got to give him a chance.
Did you see it? Did you find it?
Joe Man is slapping him. Is that what you're talking
about?
Yep. Oh, he gives him an elbow.
Yep, and then he just pops up. I told you.
This is what you guys were cheering for back then.
I think that was mid-90s. I think that was pre-Holly. That's WCW,
yes,
right?
That's WCW.
That's pre-Hollywood Hogan, WCW.
That's still yellow and red Hogan. That's crazy.
Can I tell you real quick while he's watching that great clip? I'm sick of this Joe Burrow thing.
I get it. I don't even know if he's good anymore, if his wrist even works at this point.
The week one situation was scary. That's scary.
For some reason, they can't scheme up Jamar Chase to get open either.
I don't know if I can throw anymore.
Yeah, I think it's that.
If Joe Burrow's done, then I'm out on the Bengals. That's literally all it comes down to.
I agree. And if they're
I'm out on the Bengals already. Y'all are just slow.
If they're 0-3, who they got this week?
The Commanders on Monday night. If you lose Monday, I was going to say.
Are you ready for some football?
Oh, yeah. They,
Monday night doubleheader, by the way.
It's at home. It's at home. They lose to the Commanders. Yeah. Pack them up. As my man said in the chat the other day, time to take them out back.
If the Commanders win on Monday, should they be the favorites to win the division?
No.
What if the Saints beat the Eagles and the Ravens beat the Cowboys?
What if they're the only one that wins?
Should the Commanders be the favorites? No.
If they win another two,
no.
Who's the favorite?
No. None of them. Don't bet the division.
NFC East, I'm sorry. You guys are just not making the playoffs
this
year.
Take their stupid asses off the board, and whoever gets there, gets there. You mean we're picking between the Commanders and Bengals and the Jaguars and Bills? That's what we have to choose from on Monday night?
Yeah.
Who Jags? Bills isn't bad.
The Jaguars are not good.
Yeah. Are we going to potentially have some WNBA playoffs? They don't play back-to-back, so, huh?
Nah, because I think everything is Sunday. they set up the Fever got the primetime slot Sunday. Then they're moving all the way to Wednesday. So there's not opposed by anything. They got the night to themselves on Wednesday.
Oh, damn. All right. I guess I'll watch since.
No, I think I'll watch Commanders Bengals. I want to watch the rookie.
They have some. Yeah, the games aren't.
I mean, I'm sure we'll split screen it, but.
The games aren't awful, but I don't know why we're doing
this. Of course,
this.
I think on Mondays we're here to. Oh, wait, you're busy. You better. You ain't watching anything on Monday.
No, I'm not.
The radio veteran says, headline. Mm-hmm. You ready to believe in the 3-0 Seahawks? Sorry, Jesse.
A win over Miami at home.
Well, I think it's notable that you can beat Miami with Tyreek and all that.
We don't know what's going on.
Miami's not the Patriots.
They're absolutely not the Patriots.
And they're not the Broncos. This is a step up here. I'm not saying Miami is what we expected, but you still got a game plan for Tyreek and all those guys. Miami still has some guys on defense. I think for the Seahawks to be notable.
Did Skyler play at all last year?
No, Tua played every game.
He played the whole year, right? And Skyler was on the team the year before when the first concussion happened. Wasn't he the quarterback?
Yeah, when in the playoffs, huh?
Yeah.
No, I'm on right defense. No.
What if they lose them?
Still not believing in them.
I still feel the same about them. They're all right. They're cool. They lost the game.
So if they lose, are you just completely out then? It's like, all right, we knew about them?
Well, I'd feel the same way. Like,
they can't influence your emotions one way or another.
Right. I would recognize that. That's a decent win, decent start to the season, real good start to the season, 3-0. I'd recognize that, but I wouldn't look at them and say, you know, this team is for real. Not yet. Sorry, good kid, Dad City.
No, understandable. Understandable. Let's try one more, and then we'll just shift to the 49ers.
Okay.
Potential Monday headline. Let's start the Dennis Allen Coach of the Year conversation.
Oh, yeah. They're 3-0, and they beat the hell out of the Eagles.
That's a and super the realistic headline.
Yeah.
No, how many? I don't think so. How many times have we seen Clint Kubiak's name compared to Dennis Allen's?
That's a good call.
He is
Dennis Allen's getting no credit with this team.
That's a good
Clint
call.
Clint Kubiak's playing himself into Dennis Allen's job.
Yeah, he's going to be the next coach of the Cowboys at
Clint this Kubiak?
Point.
Clint Kubiak?
Yeah. At this point, that's a good call.
That's a good call. That's not a crazy thought. That is not a crazy thought at all.
I would say Dennis Allen, or is my man still, is Boyle still in Tampa Bay?
Todd Bowles? Yeah. Bowles.
Yeah, if they go 3-0, maybe they start to get that, that type of, he gets that type of buzz.
Okay.
Him or, you know who it would be. This is definitely who it would be. If the Vikings win, that's your front runner for Coach of the Year,
Kevin O'Connell. Okay,
they beat Houston to go 3-0.
Why do I feel like you're saying that with an attitude?
No, it's just clear as day.
Kyle tries the.
Yeah,
I don't buy it yet.
Kyle kind of jumped out the window a little bit. He's not a top five coach in the league.
We were talking about that today. I don't know.
Let's not jump out the window. He's not top five in the league today, but. He seems like he's a good coach.
Does Shanahan have a chance this year if the Niners are just dealing with injuries all year? Nah, or is he just still out there running?
He'll never win it. I don't think he'll ever win it.
You think Brian Daboll tells him about the time he won it?
Yeah, at the unemployment line.
Every time the coaches get together in the beginning of the offseason. Hey, Kyle, you got one of these?
Hey, Kyle. Kyle, where do you keep your Coach of the Year trophy?
I might be getting fired at the end of this year, but you got one of these?
Yeah, I'm about to ask. I'm like, I'd keep it in my – I don't have one, but if I did, I'd keep it in my office of the job that I still have.
Oh. How many injuries as we shift to the business at hand this weekend? Mm. How many injuries is too many for the San Francisco 49ers? That's, I think, and I'm not asking you to provide an answer. That, to me, is the question going into the game. Mm-hmm. How many injuries is too many? Christian McCaffrey is out. Debo is out. Mm-hmm. I thought that was It sucks. I thought it was manageable, especially against this Los Angeles Rams team. Now you're removing Kittle, another playmaker, another kind of wild card who could, you know, change things with a single play.
Mm-hmm.
He's doubtful. He's not out. I feel like he's out.
Yeah.
And I think Kyle.
And at this point, he should be.
I feel like Kyle's expectations are he's not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And if he is, he might be a blocker the whole game.
Mm.
They might run minimal routes with him. This is his hamstring. I wouldn't even do that.
Right.
But it does it get to a point where, okay, there's the answer. That's too many. There's too many guys out at that point. There's too many big offensive playmakers out at that point. And for me, this, you know, Kyle feels differently. To me, I feel like we're not there yet. I told you how I felt. Give me Trent. Give me Brock.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Fred Warner on the other end. Kyle said you got to include Nick Bosa in that. Fine, Nick Bosa's there, mm-hmm. dealing with a rib issue, but it looked like him and both Charvarius Ward are going to go. Give me that, and I like their chances. Not only against the Rams, but against anybody.
I'm with you on that. I'm absolutely with you on that. It feels like maybe one or two more starters go down, and you're in Rams territory. Where it's just a little too much. But I will say this. They still have a really talented team as is without Kittle. You know what I mean? It's not a team that maybe is a Super Bowl team, or it's not what you're trying to do, what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you got Ayuk, you got Jennings, you got Jordan Mason, you got Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
You still got a team that would be favored to beat a lot of the teams in the NFL as is. So I think because of that, that's that stable that they have. It's probably a player or two away before it just becomes too much.
Hmm. Okay. It seems like I'll be curious what they do with Kittle. I don't think Kittle's gonna. I think Kittle's gonna wind up not being active at all.
I don't want to say disappointed, but I would disagree with him playing, being active.
Understandable.
Just don't put him out there this week.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. Do you still – so Kittle, no McCaffrey, no Debo. You still feel all right about them against Los Angeles?
I do. I think Jordan Mason is going to have another good game. I think that because the Rams are quite as kept. They're not good against the run at all. They are light across the defensive line, especially now without the greatest player to ever play. They're not built to stop a physical, potentially dominating offensive line in the run game like the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jordan Mason could have his way. If you can't stop the Kyle Shanahan run, you don't have a chance, because now that it just opens up the entire playbook. And I don't think they will. I don't think they'll be able to stop the run. And I think that'll be the determining factor of this game. That'll be how the 49ers keep control of this game, is being able to dominate them on the ground.
Does Brock, like, because I was thinking about this and I didn't get a chance to ask Kyle this. Like, if will Brock get credit no matter, like, can Brock do anything to get credit this weekend? Because it's like, oh, we need him to step up. But, like, if he does, will it actually get noticed?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think this is kind of what people are waiting for right here, whether it's fair or not. Like, now Brock's missing some guys, and if he is this top 10 guy, then the Niners should be fine.
I think I could see a situation, and maybe I'm just jaded by it, where if it's a game where he – if it's a close game and he leads them to a victory – they'll just say the Rams were depleted.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't do that against a real team or a real playoff team or something like that. I don't – and I also don't know what – that's the other thing about that is I don't know what that looks like, because I just said, and I think this is the key to victory, run the ball right at the Rams. And if you're doing that at a high level, you're going to win. That's 25 to 30 times. Brock's not going to have that many opportunities, mm-hmm. or at least – If he's throwing as much as he did last week against Minnesota, it's all bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want I want them to take care of this game on the ground. I think that's the key. And Brock will end up having like 240 or something, maybe two touchdowns or something like that. And that won't be enough to get people off his back, I don't think.
That was Aaron Rodgers' numbers.
Well, he looks like he's back.
That's what he did last night.
He looks like he's back.
Man.
Herbstreit said he looked more nimble and athletic than he did before the Achilles.
We didn't talk. That was a rough broadcast last night. That was a brutal broadcast.
Yeah, Al ain't it no more.
I don't know that he's even interested in this job. I really don't.
I was probably doing it for the check at this point.
Yeah, one last check.
Yeah, one more time before I get out of here.
All right. Well, good luck with that, Al. And we'll just sit here and suffer. Sean McVay, well, he's not a play-by-play guy. They need to figure out a different play-by-play.
They need to move Thursday Night Football to Saturdays.
But Sean McVay is a play-by-play guy.
This Al ain't it.
Well, I guess it can't get worse. I'm over there to do something. What other games are you looking forward to this weekend? Obviously, we're locked in. There's one that really very easily stands out to me, and it's one of the early games, Texans-Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Texans. Vikings got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready for that.
I want to see, all jokes aside, I want to see Saints-Eagles because this is a – we'll see what happens. I mean, the Eagles have enough talent where maybe they can override the coaching deficiencies. I think A.J. Brown is still out in this game.
Yeah, he is. He's probably going to be out a couple weeks at least.
Yeah, so that's not going to help him. But the Saints, a little sneaky line here. They're only a 2.5-point favorite. And I don't say that like necessarily for gambling purposes. But usually like that's a question. Like, why do they feel that way? Why do they feel that way about the line? If I created the line, I would think the Saints would be maybe a 6, maybe 7-point favorite against that Eagles team. But and coming off a short week and all this other stuff. But that's an interesting game right there.
Lions-Cardinals is going to be fun because we'll learn if the Cardinals are like legit.
Yeah.
I think the Cardinals might get that. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I think the Cardinals might get that.
Do you ask questions if the Lions lose?
You don't ask questions yet, but you look at them funny. And I think you look at Jared Goff a little funny. If they lose, like, I mean, there's other reasons and all that, but like last week was not great by him. If there's another week of that, he's going to tear it up. Or he's got to have one, you said?
He's got to have a good game. He's got to play well. These first two games, he hasn't played well at all.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to have a better game.
Yeah, Dan Campbell took the heat for it last week, but.
And look, one more. I want to see how this plays out. Raiders, man.
Yeah, you see Panthers, or they're only 5-point favorites in this one, the Raiders?
Yeah, that's another little sneaky one. I'd take the Raiders. I'll give you a bonus game. Take the Raiders on that one.
I think the Raiders defense over field there.
Raiders 5 points. Huh?
Now it's 6. Now it's up to 6. It was 5 this morning when I was talking with Kyle.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Like, what does that mean though? Like, I don't know that the Raiders have it in them offensively to like manhandle a team, any team, not even the worst team.
Can you see 24-10?
Like, unless Crosby's giving me like a. I could see that. Yeah, I could see that.
I could see that for sure. They give you 24.
Maybe 30.
Get some turnovers and stuff like that.
I think the defense got a touchdown. I think the defense gets a touchdown of this one.
Okay, and that's
short
the fields thing.
or a turnover that gets that positions them in the red zone or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll be talking about the Raiders going 2-1 to start the season.
Oh, but brother, can you imagine we come Monday talking about the Raiders being 1-2?
Oh,
I might not even.
We talk might not about even
it.
Do it. Yeah, we might
not even talk about it.
Hey, so we covered every game. We've covered all of them. We appreciate you guys so much for being with us. For those that are going to the Golden One Center right now, man, have a blast. If not, have a great weekend.
That's right.
Shout out to MAP Training. Shout out to Matthew's Mattress. And of course, big thanks to Sky River. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play. With 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games, sky is the limit at Sky River Casino. We will see you back here Monday at 10 a.m., beginning with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, 49ers and Aces.